Now, can we just bow together and ask the Lord's help as we come to his word? Our Heavenly Father, we do give you thanks indeed for your precious word. And we rejoice that from our earliest days we had a copy of thy truth. And we rejoice that we've had it in our hands, we've had it in our homes, and we have it in our hearts. And as we come now to your precious word, we pray that you'll make it even more precious. And we ask, Lord, that you will speak to us through thy precious word, and that you will give us wisdom, that we might rightly divide the scriptures. We earnestly pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts will be acceptable in your sight. For we ask this in our Savior's name. Amen. I'd like you to open your Bible again with me, please, at Deuteronomy chapter 33. And there are, of course, some very wonderful verses in that chapter, but we are going to center our thoughts mainly upon what Moses says in verse 29. And there he said to the children of Israel, "Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency." Very, very simply, for the time given to us today, we want to focus our attention upon the final words of Moses. And of course, the final words of Moses are very, very important words, as indeed the final words of any individual are very, very important. And often before a loved one slips into eternity, their final words are cherished for many, many years by members of that particular family. Moses' final words, very, very important words. He was the man of God, the man who enjoyed a particular relationship with God, the man the Bible tells us whom God spake face to face with, as a man speaketh unto his friend. But now it comes to the end of life's journey for God's man, and these are his last earthly words. And with his parting breath, he magnifies the God of Israel and magnifies the Israel of God. He says, "There is no God like unto the God of Israel." Now, none of the other nations around them had gods capable of doing what Jehovah could do and did do for the children of Israel. You see, the gods of the nations around them were gods of wood and gods of stone, gods of their own creation, gods that could not speak, gods that could not hear, and therefore gods that could not help. A God that cannot hear you and a God who cannot speak is a God who cannot help you. There is none, in verse 26 it says, like unto the God of Jeshurun, the God who was a sure and a safe refuge for his people. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Now, often as God's people, we put a little bit of spin on that, and I don't think there's anything wrong with it. Many people in the quotation of that verse will say that the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath and round about. It doesn't actually say round about, but we often say it that way, and that's understandable. But the eternal God is our refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. That means that he is a God who gives his people protection, who gives his people peace, and gives his people their provision. Little wonder Moses said to them, "Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord." And folks, when you stop to consider all the blessings that we have in God today, there is no people like God's people, a people saved by the Lord. You see, all our physical, all our spiritual, all our material blessings flow from the Lord himself. He is the shield, Moses says, of our help, and he is the sword of our excellency. Now, as we come this morning to look at the final words of Moses, I want you to notice, first of all, that they are words of comfort. He says, "Happy art thou, O Israel, people saved by the Lord." Now, before we move any further into the message, I wonder today, can you stop and pause in your heart for a moment, and can you truly say, "I am saved by the Lord"? These were a people who were saved by the Lord and were sure. And there's no privilege like the privilege of God's people, a people who are saved. A people who know that their sins are all forgiven. And the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 4 and verse 7, "Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered." He says those people are blessed indeed. Now, thinking about Moses' words, his comforting words, he emphasizes, first of all, our privilege. And we have to stop and thank God every day for the privilege of being saved. And Luke's Gospel chapter 9 and the verse 56 tells us the very purpose of Christ Jesus coming into the world, "For the Son of Man has come not to destroy men's lives." And, you know, that's often the devil's fable and the devil's lie, that if you become a Christian, then your whole life's going to be destroyed. You can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do the other thing. Yet the Bible says, "For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." And that was his purpose in coming into this world, to save men and women. Of course, that means when we are in Christ and saved by his grace, burden of sin is gone. And Moses said to Israel, "Happy art thou, saved by the Lord." Paul, when he wrote to young Timothy, he said in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and the verse 4, "God, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." And writing to the church at Ephesus, he spoke those familiar words, of course, that by grace are ye saved. So, folks, again, we need to ask ourselves, is that my experience? Can I honestly say, like the children of Israel, saved by the Lord? But it's not only our privilege emphasized here, but also our position explained. For in the verse 27, he said to them, "The eternal God is thy refuge." And that word refuge is very, very significant and very, very important because it means habitation. The eternal God is thy habitation. It has another meaning also, mansion house. A place of security and safety. And of course, that identifies the position of every saved sinner. They are safe in Christ. And one day we will be safe with Christ because Christ is the believer's habitation. The Bible tells us that our lives are hid with Christ in God. Just like Noah and his ark. And when God told him to build the ark, and he built the ark. And then the Bible tells us that God said to Noah, "Come thou and all thy house into the ark." And Noah, his family went in the ark. But when we come to Genesis chapter 7 and the verse 16, then the Bible says this, "And God shut him in." And of course, that's how it is with the saved sinner. Their habitation is in Christ. They are shut in Christ by God. Therefore, we are as safe as God can make us. And we must remember this, folks, that when you and I get to heaven, and what a glorious prospect that is. But when we get there, we're not going to be any more safe than we are today sitting in Enniskillen. We might be more holy, we might be more happy, but we won't be any more safe. Because we are as safe today in Christ as God can possibly make us. Therefore, to any who know not the Lord, if today you are to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and know the joy of his salvation, you will be as safe and as sure of heaven as if you were there. But also then, there's the person identified here. He says, happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people, saved by the Lord. Now, Israel, of course, would have understood that very fully, because for hundreds of years they groveled under the tyranny of the iron fist of the Pharaohs. It was God's mighty arm that broke the Egyptian bondage and liberated his people. It was God who did the miracle at the Red Sea when the enemy was coming upon them, that he divided the Red Sea and brought his people safely through it. It was God who then in the wilderness provided and spread a table for them. It was God who brought them into the promised land. And we must always remember this, folks. There are situations that come into our lives, health problems, family problems, business problems, all sorts of problems, but we must never lose sight of this truth. That God who broke the Egyptian bondage, God who miraculously divided the Red Sea and brought his people safely through, and God who provided a table in the wilderness, is that same God that you and I worship today. Because the Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. In other words, what God did then, God can do today. And we must cast our lot upon him. But when you think of it, God breaking the Egyptian bondage, dividing the Red Sea, delivering his people, yet destroying the enemy, and providing a table in the wilderness and bringing them into a promised land, salvation is all from beginning to end of the Lord. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9, we read that Christ, through his death, became the author of salvation. So, Moses' words to these people were very comforting words. And it should be a comfort to us today that their God is our God. What he did for them, he can do for us. He can still provide a table in the wilderness. He can still divide the Red Sea. He can still overrule in all the circumstances that would trouble you and me. But we've not only words that were a comforting truth, but also words that were very, very challenging. Because he said to them, happy art thou, O Israel. And here it is, who is like unto thee? Now, there's some people, and you might meet them in the street, and they wouldn't break a smile to people like you and me. And they feel, oh, who is like me? Well, that's not what is being propounded here, of course. But certainly when it comes to God's people, there is no people in the world like God's people. Matthew Henry, commenting on these verses, said, never was there a people so well seated and so well sheltered as God's people, because they are seated and they are sheltered in Christ. He said, every child of God is at home in Christ. Therefore, he says, there is no people like God's people. And that is, folks, first of all, because of the freedom that we experience. Now, the Bible tells us in John's Gospel, chapter 8, and the verse 36, he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Now, there are many people in Ulster today. They hold up their head, they stick out their chest, they say, I'm free. And they base that freedom on that they can do what they like, they can say what they like, they can go where they like. But freedom doesn't lie in those things. It often lies in the freedom not to do those things. And while many people are free to do what they like, they're not free to stop doing some of those things. I mean, an alcoholic, he's free to drink himself stupid. You're not free really to stop that. A young man or young woman may be free to take his drugs, but is he free then to stop doing it? And you see, there was a time in the lives of the children of Israel when they could not say, we are free. But rather, they were taken bondage to the pharaohs of Egypt. And the Bible tells us their lives were made bitter with hard bondage. And they were made to grovel under hard taskmasters, made to bear burdens that were unbearable. But then God saw their plight, and God broke that bondage, and God made them a free people. Of course, it's a beautiful picture of man in sin coming to Christ, because in sin we're bound and chained and fettered and mastered by sin and by sinful habits. In Christ, he breaks the power of canceled sin, and he sets the prisoner free. And his blood can make the foulest clean. His blood avails for me. Billy Bray, the Cornish tin miner, drunkard, seldom ever brought home his wage to feed his wife and children. But one day, God wonderfully saved him. And after that, he went outside and looked at the world around him and said, I'm a new man in a new world. And that's exactly how it is. He went about rejoicing in the Lord always. And he said every time he was walking down the street, when he was taking a step, when he lifted his left leg, it shouted hallelujah. When he lifted his right leg, it shouted amen. And people used to say to Billy Bray, Who are you? Oh, he says, I'm amazed you don't know me. I'm the king's son. That's exactly what we are. Sons and daughters of the King of Kings. Now, thinking about those words of Moses, speaks about the friendship we enjoy, because God was the friend of Moses. And Moses fostered a relationship with God that was very, very beautiful. The friend, not only of Moses, but of Moses' people. The Bible tells us there, for example, in the book of Exodus in chapter 33, Moses and the Lord spake as friends to each other. I think of the words of Solomon. Remember, in summing it up, he said of the Lord, he is my beloved, and he's my friend. And I wonder today, can we all say that of the Lord? He is our beloved, he is our Savior, and if he is, he's our friend. The important thing is to know him in that capacity. Joseph Scriven, of course, did, in spite of the circumstances of his life, which were tragic, wrote that great hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. And Israel were blessed. They had God as their friend. And folks, that's why there is no people like God's people, because God is our friend. Is he your friend? But these were not only comforting words and challenging words, but these were also cheerful words, because he says, happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee. Happy art thou. Now, God's people are a happy people. Happy in the knowledge that their sins are forgiven, cast into the sea of God's forgetfulness, never to be remembered against us again forever, taken from us as far as the east is from the west. Our names are written in heaven. On one occasion, I visited a church member. I'd been taken into hospital. He was quite a young man. He was only 58. And if you're 58, that's very young, isn't it? And if you're a little older than that, it's still very young. And when I got down to the hospital to see him, well, I thought the circumstances all changed. He's on the way to recovery, and he was sitting up. It was a ward of four people, and he was conversing away with the rest of the men. They were happy, they were laughing, they were joking. And so after I'd talked with him, and I wanted to read God's word with him and pray, and so I just said to the rest of the men, because there was quite a lot of chatter going on, what I was going to do. I was going to read God's word with this man and pray, and maybe you would like to join in. And they all said they would like to join in. They went around the ward and shook hands with each of them, and then came to the man from the congregation and shook his hands, and he gripped my hand tight. And then he said to me, "Mr. Morrow," and came out of the blue like a bolt. He said, "Whatever happens to me this night, I'm happy. Happy." And I drove away from the hospital thinking about those words, thought those were strange words because he was in such form. But at 2 o'clock in the morning, I got the phone call that he had died. "Whatever happens to me this night, I'm happy." Why? Because he was saved. Friend, whatever happens to you tonight, are you happy? Happy in the knowledge that you are saved. Happy in the knowledge that, as Paul said, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Because Paul's dying words were very, very important words as well. For he said, "I am now ready. The time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness." He said, "I'm now ready." Friend, are you ready? Whatever happens this day, are you ready? And of course, these were cheerful words, first of all, because of their protection. We read there in verse 28, "Israel then shall dwell in safety alone, because eternal God was their refuge, because underneath were the everlasting arms." Now he says, "Israel shall dwell in safety." A safety that the nations around them did not enjoy because their gods could not do anything for them. Hence he says, "Israel shall dwell in safety alone." And how safe indeed are God's people. You see, God was their shield. God was their habitation. God was their refuge. And we read those wonderful words of the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 8 and verses 38 and 39, where he emphasizes how safe and sure God's people are in the Lord. He says, "For I am persuaded." And those words simply mean, "I'm absolutely sure." "That neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." None of God's people ever will be in a lost eternity. For he says, "Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved him." How protected is God's people? And in John Gospel chapter 10 and the verses 28 and 29, he says, "I give to them eternal life, and they shall never perish." Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. The word man there, folks, being in italics. And it's not a word, any word in italics is not on the original manuscript. But it's just put there by the translators that you and I might more easily understand. But it simply reads, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any pluck them out of my hand. Because some of God's people have been troubled and bothered, and some have spoken to me, but the devil could take me out of God's hand. No, he cannot. He cannot. A young prisoner came to me during the week. He was demented. He said, I'm hearing voices in my head. And I said, what is that voice saying? What is it telling you to do? It's saying, your mother is in hell. And if you now take your life, that will get your mother out of hell and into heaven. And I said, who do you think is speaking to you? Well, he says, it must be the devil. Well, I said, the devil hasn't power to put anybody in hell or any power to take them out of hell. That power is alone in God's hand. And when God forgives us our sin, God even forgets that we were sinners. For he says, my Father which giveth me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. So these were cheerful words. Happy art thou, because of their protection, they would dwell in safety. And God's people are a safe people, because they're a saved people. And not only their protection, but their provision. He said there in verse 28 and the latter part of it, Israel then shall dwell in safety alone. The fountain of Jacob shall be upon a land of corn and wine. Also the heavens shall drop down dew. Emphasizing that God had not only saved them, brought them out of Egypt, provided for them in the wilderness, but would always provide for them. A land of corn and wine. You see, the Bible tells us in John's Gospel, chapter 1 and verse 12, as many as received him, to them give he power, the right, and the authority to become the sons of God. And when we are saved by his grace, then he says, I will never leave thee. And I will never forsake thee. Who can say that but God's people? That's why they are a happy people. Saved by the Lord. Little wonder D.L. Moody, the great American evangelist, said. He said, give your life to God. He can do far more with it than you ever can. And it was Martin Luther who said similar words. He said, I have held many things in my hands, and I have lost them all. But whatever I have placed in God's hand, those things I still have. Have you placed your life in God's hand? Are you trusting him as Savior? And friend, if you are, there's nobody like you. Saved by the Lord, safe in Christ, sheltered in Christ, with never a possibility of being lost. Happy art thou, O people. Who is like unto thee, O Israel? O people, saved. The Bible exhorts us to make our calling and our election sure. I trust you can say today, I'm saved. And all that Moses said about those people applies to me. And if not, why not this day? Put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as Savior. Let's bow together for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks indeed for all that the Lord has done for us. Truly, we can say the Lord has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. We thank you that you've saved us with a great salvation. We rejoice that you've kept us with thy great power. And we rejoice that one day you will bring us safely into your presence. But, O Lord, our heart's desire and earnest prayer would be that all who are gathered here will know that great blessing. Walk out of this place happy that they're saved by the Lord. Perfect that which concerns each and every one of us. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.